talking to Navi Pillay, who is the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. Getting back to Syria, the world has stood and watched while Syria has torn itself apart. Do you think the lack of international action, if you like, makes a mockery of the United Nations' responsibility to protect principle? And where do you stand on this issue of the soft law imperative for intervention, whereby the UN Security Council can be sidestepped if there was a coalition of winning parties, as we saw in Kosovo, for instance? Could that have been a way to go?
The biggest criticism from IBA and from everybody is the attack in Iraq, for instance, the military intervention in Iraq. Why? Because it bypassed the Security Council. So when it comes to a decision to intervene militarily, that has to be taken by the Security Council. That is international law, and we all see safety in that. Otherwise, you're going to have many actors taking the initiative on their own. It's true, Syria remains a challenge. What has happened with regard to the intervention in Libya has put off some states, such as Russia. They constantly cite that as a mistake. More recently, they said to me, look what's happening in Libya now. It's in pieces. There's no justice and protection for the victims. So how did that help? The point is, they do have a responsibility in the Security Council, in the General Assembly, to come up with solutions. None of us, civil society and us, are in a position to dictate, try this or do that. But that's what the United Nations was set up for. Start the dialogue and come up with solutions.
Bernard Kouchner. Dr. Kouchner is the former French Minister of Foreign Affairs and was the co-founder of Médecins Sans Frontières.
We knew that Bashar al-Assad was a dictator. And we didn't prepare the ground. We didn't prepare any sort of intervention, including peaceful intervention. We were not attentive enough about the situation of human rights fighters and the real situation of the women in the country, etc. So we feigned to be surprised, and we were not surprised. We have to reform the UN system. Mm-hmm. We cannot stay inert facing such a bloody bath in a bloody war because of the veto. We have to change the veto power to introduce some other countries representing Africa, for example, and the Arab world. We are stopped in our real progress on the way of human rights and the rule of law by this particular stepping back in Syria.
With me today is Mark Malik-Brown. He's had a long and distinguished career. At the UN, he was Kofi Annan's right-hand man, first as his chief of staff and then as deputy secretary general. Coming back to Syria as well. You've described the doctrine of responsibility to protect, which was very much a Kofi Annan project, and it responds to the points you're making there. And yet we see the situation in Syria. Does that mean that R2P is dead in the water?
It's taken a serious amount of sort of beneath the water level damage, if I can
right.
say that.
And is it fatal?
I don't think so, because I think, you know, and this is my defense of quite a lot of the kind of current condition of the UN, which is it ain't working well, but it in an era of globalization, global management arrangements are indispensable. Now, it's certainly possible that the UN falls by the wayside and a new network of institutions and arrangements come up. I mean, you're seeing some of that in the emergence of things like the G20, etc. But, you know, if you take the problem that responsibility to protect was trying to address, which is that the human rights and welfare of people is at times too important to be trusted to their governments. That idea is very clearly one which isn't going to go away. It's at the basis of an awful lot of the development of international law, the idea that at a global level, not just a national level, institutions need to be accountable to people and principles and values, and to show consistency in how they treat people. And responsibility to protect was about what happens when a you get a major state people breakdown and a government turns on its own people or a portion of those people.
Describing Syria, almost.
Well, which describes Syria. And, you know, and when that happens, the doctrine, which is, you know, really at this stage, a lot of articles in learned law journals and books by academics and policymakers, myself included. But in terms of actual adopted international law, it's a paragraph or two, you know, in General Assembly resolutions and such like. There is, it's not sort of
very much nascent.
It's nascent. And